Our first reading is Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, and also verse 22. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the rest of the earth. For I am grieved that I have made them. Thus Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had two sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. A second reading is from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and this is Jesus speaking, and he said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds are wicked. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever is by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Overland, we're doing a series looking at the things Jesus revealed, called to reveal. God has revealed Jesus in his life, his ministry, his death, and resurrection as recorded for us in the Bible and also through his Holy Spirit in our lives. And this means that God wants Jesus to be known, and he wants him to be known as his Son and as our Savior. In our first week, we looked at the baptism of Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, we read how the heavens were torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven saying, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus in his baptism receives his ministry, which is the ministry symbolized by the dove, as well as having his identity as the Son of God confirmed. So Jesus came to declare the good news that God was offering salvation from judgment through repentance. Jesus and his ministry and death and resurrection would be the way that God would achieve this. We are to continue on the ministry of Jesus and declaring that God is offering to everyone to have their sins forgiven. Then we continue by looking at the glory of Jesus. The glory of God is the totality of God's being, his nature, his character, presence, splendor, and accomplishments, which all work together to reveal a being who is beyond compare and ultimate, and is worthy of all honor, praise, and adoration, and a being who will one day be recognized by all for this. At his transfiguration, Jesus has his divine, magnificent splendor revealed, was normally veiled. But Jesus' glory could always be seen in his character and the way he lived his life, denying himself and being willing to take up his cross and humbly obey the will of the Father. When we reveal Jesus to those around us, we can do so by following Jesus. Jesus is an example of denying ourselves for the sake of God, and by sharing the gospel story of Jesus, we reveal the glory of who he is. And the last week we looked at how Jesus was built for the temple, for it was the sacred place for Jews and Gentiles to come near to God and worship him. And how today Jesus is still zealous for spiritually hungry people to be given the opportunity to draw close to God. Nothing makes Jesus happier than when churches and Christians share the good news that Jesus wants to meet people where they are at, forgive their sins, reconcile them to the Father, and give them a new hope for the future. And nothing makes Jesus happier than when churches and Christians provide opportunities and sacred places and spaces for people to enjoy being in God's presence. To be given the opportunity to ask questions and explore faith, to have an offer of prayer extended to them. Today we're looking at how humanity stands already condemned by our sinfulness, but that Jesus comes to save us from the predicaments we are in. In my first sermon in this series, I made mention that I would return to Jesus' baptism and explore more about how the story of Noah's Ark reveals to us what Jesus' baptism was about. And that's what we're going to do today. In our Bible reading from Genesis 6, we heard part of that story again. And so we read how everyone was wicked. Violence was rife. Everyone's hearts were set on doing evil. Except, of course, for Noah. And so God sent a flood as judgment on all the sin and evil in the world, and wiped out everyone except for Noah and his family. That family who God saved through the ark. After the flood, the dove revealed that God had indeed saved Noah and his family from his judgment of the world. And God made a covenant with the world and gives the sign of the rainbow to remind him and us of his promise to never destroy the world again with a flood. Noah's Ark helps us to understand Jesus' baptism and what it's about. I mean, essentially, the predicament of all humanity finds itself in is similar to those living in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, we're told in Genesis 6 verse 5 that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Now it might not be the same for us, for everyone today, that every inclination of people's hearts is evil. But the problem of sin still remains after Noah's flood and continues to this day. The story of Noah's Ark reveals that God judges sin. Without judgment, sin is allowed to endure, and God will not allow evil to endure forever. And what this means is that humanity faces judgment for as long as sin remains. Those who were condemned to judgment for their sin at Noah's flood, we are condemned to judgment for our sin. Except our judgment will not be the loss of this life, but the loss of our souls. In today's gospel reading, we hear Jesus himself say in John 3:18 that humanity already stands condemned. Jesus coming to earth is not what causes judgment. With or without the coming of Jesus, our sin condemns us. But Jesus coming into the world opens up a way of salvation. A way of salvation from our sin. For John 3:17 tells us, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Just like the world had a problem with sin in the days of Noah, the world has always continued to have a sin problem. But God provided an ark. And likewise, God provides an ark for us. His Son Jesus. Jesus is our ark of salvation. Through him, we can be saved from our sins and our sinfulness. John 3:16 affirms that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God has sent Jesus on a rescue mission. As we are told in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. God wants no one to face judgment for their sins. But the wages of sin is death. But the other side of that verse is the gift of God in eternal life, Romans 6:23. So Jesus has come to save us from our sin. And this is only a good news message. And this is who Jesus is revealed to be at his baptism. He is the ark of salvation. And those who believe in him will be saved from their sin and their coming judgment. So how do we go about revealing this to people? I can imagine that it's possible to get the idea that maybe we should just tell people straight. Maybe something like an old-style fire and brimstone message. And this has certainly been an approach many have taken throughout the ages, but is there a better way? I guess the first thing to do is to look at deeply at what Jesus is offering. Jesus is offering to take people's sin and the guilt of sin away from people. He is not looking to condemn. He wants to save. Now that sounds like an inviting message to me. And the motivation for God to do this, we are told, is his love. Remember, God doesn't want anyone to perish because of their sin, because of his love for each and every person. But God must judge sin. So motivated by love, God implements a way for our sin to be taken upon himself and for him to take the judgment for our sin. God sends his Son to die on the cross, so that whoever believes in him will have their sin removed and be given eternal life. And I think this is a better way to reveal to non-Christians what God has revealed to us about sin, judgment, and salvation. You know, I understand that as you get to know people, I have found that everyone feels guilty for many of the bad things they've done. The words that said to your hurt people, and negatively impacted on their lives. We've all done things we regret deeply and wish we'd never done because of the pain we've caused. We suck up our relationships. We manipulate people to get what we want. We've lied to our loved ones and also lied to get ourselves out of trouble. We've been selfish, we've failed to be for the need. And we all feel guilt for these things. Everyone I know, who I know deeply, is full of regrets. Maybe this is why people stay away from God. They can't even live up to their own standards. How could they ever live up to God's standards? In general, people feel the weight of judgment from their failings and carry around guilt. And all people want to be free from the guilt they carry around. And the good news of God is that He is willing to remove not only our sin itself, but the guilt which our sin has caused us. Jesus hasn't come to condemn people. He has come to save people. He hasn't come to increase the burden of guilt people feel for their sin. He came to remove it. And so I think a good starting point to reveal Jesus as the one who can save us from God's judgment of sin is people's own sense of failure and guilt due to not meeting their own standards for their own conscience, for themselves. So step one is to just be a good, genuine friend. Be someone who people feel they can be open with and share honestly with and trust. Invest time in getting to know people. And when someone does share of something they regret having said or done, and use it as an opportunity to share how God wants to take that regret away from them and how He is able to fix any bad situation we've gotten ourselves into. And that He can bring good out of any bad that we've brought into the world. Share a moment when Jesus has done this for you, including how He has forgiven you and taken away your guilt. It's tempting to go down and sympathize and then downplay the sin people feel bad about. Saying something like, oh, well, we all make mistakes, it's not a big deal, it's not that bad. But to be honest, when you said something which hurt someone you love, someone coming alongside you and say it's no big deal, does that ever make you feel better? Of course not. Because it is a big deal. You've hurt someone you love. You've hurt someone you ought not to have hurt. And that's why you feel guilty. It's why you feel remorse. So using that idea is not even useful in anyone. And so even putting aside the revealing of the truth that we are sinful and need Jesus to save us, the best approach is to say to someone something more along the lines of, yeah, I can see how that hurt your relationship with that person, but you know, what I've found is that when I've done similar things, Jesus has helped me to make things better and helped me to not feel so guilty about it because I know that He has forgiven me for it. And that He will never hold it against me. You see how this is better? In doing so, you're offering people Jesus, and you're offering a real solution to our sin. If the person you're sharing with is receptive to this, then continue to share about more broadly how Jesus has come to save us from all our sin. How we have all fallen short of God's moral standard, but because of His love, He has made a way for our sin to be taken from us by Him. So So in conclusion, Jesus is the ark of salvation from God's judgment on sin. We already stand condemned because the payment for our sinfulness is the death of our soul. But God desires that no one perish, and has sent Jesus to die for us, offering us to take our sin upon himself and the punishment for us, thus releasing us from our sin and then giving us eternal life. So pass on the good news that Jesus is willing to rescue us from ourselves and helps us to fix any problems we've caused through our sin, and removes our sin from us as well as the guilt of our sins. Amen.